Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano, Wesley Wildman, and Steve Jordahl.
Hey.
And how you doing, Brother Steve?
I'm well.
Steve Paisley Jordahl should give you your formal.
Don't
miss that part of you. It's part of your persona now.
Well,
when people come to visit us here at our studios, they want to meet.
They actually do ask for that.
And since New Year's, he has also added to his Paisley by providing food on occasion.
Yeah.
Most of which he has cooked. Today he has food in which you did not cook.
I did not cook this, no.
But you have food.
I do. I would like to
share. Wait, you've been bringing food?
Yeah, you remember the chocolate chili?
Well, he wasn't here. He wasn't on campus.
Yes.
Yeah, the chocolate chili. I heard about that.
Yeah, I remember that. Chocolate chili, and then you followed that up.
Mexican
cookies with spice, but it had the red peppers in it or something.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was.
It had a little bite to it.
Yeah.
Chocolate chili, that sounds unpatriotic.
It was really good.
It was really good. So good. I made some. We had a Super Bowl party, S-O-U-P-E-R bowl party at our church on Sunday. And I made some, and it was so good. And a lot of people were talking about it. So
yeah,
I don't think you're supposed to be bragging about your own stuff, though.
If you can
brag, you lose.
If it's that good,
if you can do it. You can back it up. It's not bragging, is what they say. I have in front of me some popcorn that my lovely wife, for some unknown reason, adores me. I it's blowing my mind, but she loves me, and she sent me.
We're all amazed.
I know. What in the world? Yeah. I must have brainwashed her at some point.
So
but
we got
anyway,
some Paisley popcorn.
It's a Paisley popcorn. It's half cheese and half caramel corn. Yeah.
All right. I worked at a caramel corn place in high school.
Did you?
Did you really?
That might explain a lot.
In the old mall in Tupelo, right?
But when you worked at a place like that, after about 3 months, you don't want to ever
see it again.
You don't want caramel corn ever.
So you don't like caramel corn?
I do. But
not for 2 years after.
So small dosage. Small dosage.
That's the way I am with Brussels sprouts.
Yeah.
You know? Vetted a lot as a kid,
There's no reason to eat Brussels sprouts, honestly.
That's the next thing I'm bringing in then.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. Well, our morning host on American Family Radio for 10 years was Sandy Rios. Many of you obviously are familiar with Sandy, and she's got a podcast now. She left the morning slot, but she's got 3 days a week. She's got a podcast on American Family Radio. So if you want to hear Sandy 24/7, it's called Sandy Rios 24/7. That's the name of the podcast. Simply go to AFR.net, click on podcast, and then click on Sandy Rios 24/7. As I say, Sandy provides 3 shows a week of podcasting, and we encourage you to go there and listen. And Sandy joins us now. Her new autobiography is out, called God's Velvet Hammer. Sandy, good morning to you.
Good morning, Tim. Can I give an editorial remark?
Go.
One thing you won't hear me talk about, or one thing you won't find in the book, is anything about food. I do love to eat,
right?
But I it's not my area of expertise.
Well, that's it. I'm putting this on aside then.
I know, Steve. I'm impressed. I'm so impressed with you, Steve.
Well, next time you're in town, let me know. We'll bring you some chocolate chili.
Okay.
And Ed's going to get some chocolate-covered Brussels sprouts.
No,
I'm not. I do is chocolate.
Chocolate will not save Brussels sprouts.
Little maple and bacon will, though.
That's true. That's true.
Well, anything, you got to put stuff on it to make it taste good.
That's a good point.
Shouldn't be eaten in the first place.
Yeah, that's
in Leviticus.
Does that apply to ice cream when you put chocolate sauce and caramel?
No, because you would like ice cream by itself.
Right. I see your point.
Okay. You see my point?
That if you have to make Brussels sprouts palatable by putting bacon on it, you might as well just skip the Brussels sprouts and eat the bacon.
That's my point.
I see your point.
Bingo.
That's my point. All right, Sandy, your new book is out called God's Velvet Hammer. We want everybody to get a copy of it. It's called, subtitle, How an Ordinary Girl Was Called to Do Extraordinary Things. I remember, Sandy, whenever it was, a year and a half ago or so, you and I met. You were in Tupelo for a share-a-thon. I think it was in October. Have I got the story right so far?
Yeah, I think so.
And then you said, I need to talk. And so need
and
to
she
talk.
Hadn't stopped talking since.
Well, I need to tell you something you're probably not going to want to hear talk. That was kind of you know. So we sat down, and Sandy said, you know, I'm going to step down as the morning host on American Family Radio. I want to do a podcast, and I'm trying, and I got to step down in 2 weeks or whenever it was. She gave me like a 2-week notice.
You're still holding that against me.
Well,
he's bitter.
I'm bitter like Brussels sprouts, you know. But one of the things you told me at the time was I'm under a time crunch to finish a book. Well, this was the book. Sandy,
yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and you were trying to finish it by a certain date. God's Velvet Hammer. So first of all, tell us where people can get the book, and then we want to get into some of the stories and content of the book. And Steve, you can have the first question.
All right.
Go ahead, Sandy.
Well, you can buy it. It's anywhere? Available today. Today's the launch. You can buy it anywhere. Right now, I don't know. I'm thinking probably Amazon is the best, even though it's not the best. Just to get, they have rankings, you know, and those rankings help you sell more. And just gotcha. For right now, that's probably a good place to go.
Okay.
So it's available as of today. Yeah.
Okay. It's called God's Velvet Hammer, Sandy Rios, R-I-O-S. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, Sandy, I just got a copy this morning. I've been kind of leafing through it, and it's you've had quite a storied life. I can't wait to read this whole thing, but I know later in your career, you did some Christian ministry. You were with Concerned Women for America. And I know during that time, you kind of became America's sweetheart, maybe the most popular woman in America. I remember I found this. You talked about this at a banquet one time. I want to hear this. Let's listen to Cut 14.
Well, some people don't like me. I know that's a surprise, but I got an email just this week, and it said, are you mentally retarded? And that was the end of the email. And I wrote him back. I said, I don't think so, but I really appreciate your concern. And then I got another one just a week or so ago, and it said, we are really big fans, so we sent you this. And it was a link. And I linked to it, and there's this very large man standing on the steps of a city hall with his face blacked out, holding a sign that went like right to here and right to here, and it said, we hate Sandy Rios. And I wrote him back, I said, I can see that you are a really big fan. Could I recommend Seattle Sutton? So we have some fun.
Sandy, I love your popularity. What is Seattle Sutton?
Oh, it was one of those diet programs like Jenny Craig. It was like prepared foods. And the guy in the picture was huge, you know.
Touche.
You know, I forgot. Gosh, I don't even know where you got that.
Where did you get that?
The internet is forever.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, wow.
Well, the book is called, we're talking to Sandy Rios, host of Sandy Rios 24/7 or podcast on American Family Radio. The name of the book that releases today on Valentine's Day, God's Velvet Hammer, How an Ordinary Girl Was Called to Do Extraordinary Things. Now, Sandy, I have heard a lot of your testimony, and it really is extraordinary. Just the way you came to AFR was a God thing. You don't necessarily have to explain that situation again, but just tell our listeners, just encourage them about the fact that, as you say in your book, It success in God's kingdom is not all about going to the right schools and getting the right degrees. And if you don't have this advantage and this advantage, you'll never succeed. I have nothing against schooling,
or learning
or any of those kinds of things. But there really is a divine calling to our lives, and God does help you, doesn't he?
Absolutely. I think of Ben Franklin, who said that, you know, he wrote once that God dwells in the affairs of people. The more he spent time in this, you know, the founding of the countries, the more he was convinced that God dwells in the affairs of people. Now, that was not a trite thing for him to say. And I think I think C.S. Lewis had all of these degrees and the, you know, gentleman background. And the point of my story is that I had nothing like that. You know, I was from My dad didn't graduate from the eighth grade. My mother's family could have stepped out of the pages of Grapes of Wrath. I mean, my mother was picking fruit as a kid in California because the family could not survive financially. So that's my dad did well as a businessman, but those are my roots, very plain. And God doesn't care about that. What he cares about, from my perspective, is that I think of this image of just standing on a cliff and overseeing this, you know, plunge before you and just leaning forward with your arms up. I mean, I do think that that's really what I did in service when God called me. I just said, everything is yours. Everything is yours. And I don't, you know, no matter what happens. Now, look, this is a bold statement. And I don't want to make some declaration that heaven knows what the future may hold. But I just told Jesus, whatever you want, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do. And, of course, he didn't take me anywhere I had in mind. I thought I was going to have kids, you know, and be a mom and a cook and whatever else people do. But God ended up, when I was 21, I ended up in Berlin, Germany. This is during the Cold War. And my husband was stationed there, and this was during Vietnam. And I used to drive through Checkpoint Charlie, which was take barriers, guards with their guns pointed at you, drive, snake through that, and to get into a colorless, tasteless, odorless black and white East Berlin with Russian soldiers everywhere, East German soldiers everywhere, hardly any cars, quiet on the streets. You go to a restaurant and people wouldn't even look up from their plate. They were bent over. You could just hear the clicking of the forks because they were so oppressed. My husband at the time ran for the Charlottenburg Sports Club. And when they would have meets over there, no one would cheer. That's how oppressive communism is. And you have to know how much of an impression that made on me at that time. And also, I was at Berlin Brigade one day looking for a piece of paper, and I opened up a drawer to look for a piece of paper. And inside, I saw the picture of when I pulled it out, I realized it was a baby torn into pieces. Now, abortion, Roe versus Wade had not even been decided. This is before 73. This is around the same year. And when I was growing up, we knew kind of what abortion was, but it was like a dirty word. You did not say that word, and you didn't really know anything about it. And I have to tell you, when I looked at that picture, I was just, it was like a knife in my heart. I always think it must be like pornography is to men. When you see an image and you can't get it out of your mind. And that just started in that way. And then, of course, I sang with the U.S. Army Band, and the head of the special, what it was called, it was the musical thing of the American Forces, wanted to take me to New York and make me famous. He had it in his head that I could do that. But at the same time, I was in a Bible study in the home of the commandant of Spandau Prison. Spandau was guarding the last remaining Nazi war criminal, Rudolf Hess, and Eugene Byrd was the American commandant, because the American commandant took care of him 2 weeks ahead of the prison, and then the French and the British, they took turns. So we sat in his home, and the Bible study teacher was a woman, a Scottish woman, and she'd always say, "Speak, Lord, in the stillness, while we wait on thee, and hush our hearts in expectancy." And I sat at her feet every week. And then all of those things, those parts of my life congealed at that age, in the sense that I was impassioned about freedom. I was impassioned about the value of life. I was very clear that I could not go to New York City and be some sort of star, even if that were possible, that God had his hand on my life. And so I said, no, I won't. I'm not doing that. And then just my spiritual calling. So I came back to the States, and I was 7 months pregnant, and I gave birth to a very severely disabled child who I cared for the next 20 years. That is not at all what I thought God was going to call me to do. And of course, later, after many years of heartbreak, God gave me a musical career, I hate to say that, musical ministry. Had a number 4 song on the charts with Michael English. I ended up in D.C. I ended up in doing the first American broadcast on Radio Moscow, and on it goes.
Yeah.
And each time, it was a call, and Tim, yeah. It was just a phone call that would change my life and take it in a different direction.
Talking to Sandy Rios, her book is out today, God's Velvet Hammer. And you want to get a copy of it anywhere books are sold online. How an Ordinary Girl Was Called to Do Extraordinary Things. Sandy, you mentioned about Sasha, your daughter, which was what kind of condition did she have? Was she born with it?
We didn't know it at the time, Tim. She seemed fine, although my labor was really bad. And I had a sense.
When was this? 1980s or 70s? When was
She was born in 1974.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. So there's a lot to the story, as you could imagine, and I write about it. Actually, Tim, people for years wanted me to write a book about Sasha, and I did not want to. I was adamant. I didn't want to live through that again. But in this book, I finally put it on paper. I think the timing is right. But it wasn't until she was three months old that she began to seizure. And after that bout, she had was having them constantly. She just was limp like a rag. And I knew instinctively that I had lost her. On some level, I had lost her. Excuse me just a second.
Talking to Sandy Rios. Get some water there.
Yeah. Sorry. Allergies.
You've been talking so much today. Yeah. And go
and
ahead.
And even more on today's issue. Yeah. I mean, American Family Radio today.
Yeah. Yes. And thank you for asking. Thank you for allowing me this opportunity, Tim. You guys are family. And I really do appreciate it. Sasha just continued to, she did never improve. She only got worse. And that was one of the hardest parts for me in terms of my faith. It's like, Lord, I told you, there was nothing I wouldn't do. I would do anything, take me anywhere. But I was confined. I'm a real type A, busy, and I was confined.
But you had to physically, as she grew, you had to physically lift her every day, right? I mean,
yes, she lived till she was about 36. I kept her at home till she was 20. And yes, I had to lift her and bathe her and feed her, which was very tedious. And then sometimes I would spend an hour, 45 minutes feeding her, and then she would throw everything up, projectile vomit. Yeah, and then the worst part about it was that she would be sick. She was sick all the time. And I think parents, who have a sick child all can relate to when your child has a fever and you're so worried. You're just so worried they're sick with something. But when the fever breaks, you have this, oh my goodness, this incredible relief. Having a child like Sasha was like having that pressure all the time, only there's never any relief. And it wears on you. And of course, but now I'm telling you all the bad things, but this is also true. Sasha changed my life. God used Sasha. I always say God used Sasha to break my heart. And then he used Jeremy to kind of mend it again. And he also taught me that you've never really known real joy until you've known real sorrow. And Sasha was such a blessing to me. It's very hard to explain that part.
Mm-hmm.
I loved her so much. I didn't love her any less than any of you who have a child. She was not loved any less, and I adored her. So God taught me patience. Oh, my gosh, did I need that lesson? I still need that lesson. He taught me so much. He taught me about endurance. Oh, my goodness. Did you ever think about the fact that God wants us to have endurance? The Bible tells us that Jesus endured the cross. We are to have endurance, but the only way you can learn endurance is to endure. And who wants that? Who wants that? And that's what God brought into my life. I accept it fully. I accepted that. I yielded again to him, but it was many years before I could actually talk about it with some perspective.
Yeah.
So then after that, really honestly, Tim, my profession, what I'm known for, my professional life, my whatever success you might call it, my call to CWA, Concerned Women for America, my trips to China and North Korea and doing the radio show from Radio Moscow and all of the other incredible things that God brought into my life.
And of course, Tupelo.
Yeah, Tupelo, right? Yes.
Yeah, I mean, yes. Don't forget that.
Yeah, no, I won't. That was right, very important.
Right,
you know, and then doing television and starting out doing radio, drive time radio in Chicago. I mean, I always say I've like had 8 lives. I just have. Maybe more. I don't know.
Yeah.
So that's what God gave me after I went through that fire. And the things that I would never, are you kidding me? You think when I was taking care of Sasha, I thought, gee, I think, you know, I should be able to do drive time radio in Chicago. Chicago's right. A talk radio town. Who would think that way? Not me.
Right.
And so it was that way at every step. And that includes coming to American Family Radio, Tim, as you know.
Sandy, this is Wesley here. Good to hear from you.
Hello, Wesley. How are you?
Doing great. Well, first of all, congratulations. That's a major accomplishment to start and finish a book and have it published. And
yeah, but she quit on us in the meantime.
And he's still better.
He can't get over it.
Just her segment.
Bittersweet thing.
She did completely. She does, obviously, with her podcast.
I know that. I'm just kidding.
Okay. All right. So on to my question. We got about 4 minutes left, give or take. What inspired the title of, because it's a very intriguing or thought-provoking title. What inspired the title to your book?
Well, Wesley, it won't be too much of a surprise to you that when I was in D.C., I took on a lot of controversy, and I took on a lot of people whose names you would know, people in leadership positions, and I didn't look for those fights. I did not look for those confrontations. I'm actually very, maybe it's hard for you to believe, but I'm a peacemaker. I'm a quiet girl. I was always a sweet girl. That's what they used to say, big smile, sweet. I never looked for fights. I didn't want to confront people, but yet God made me do that. I can just tell you, and I talk about it in the book, sometimes I say, please, God, don't make me do this. But he put me in positions where that's exactly what happened. And so one time, and I got into fights. I mean, I took on Jocelyn Elders, the Surgeon General for Bill Clinton, because she was advocating sex for children. And I mean, that made me furious. So I fought. But someone said to me one time, you're a velvet hammer. You do fight, but you're a velvet hammer. And I never forgot that, but I am God's velvet hammer. I'm not, you know, on my own, just delightfully being some hammer.
Amen. Well, Sandy Rios has been with us this half hour. If you want to listen to Sandy's podcast, she does 3 a week, and they're available at our website. Go to AFR.net, click on podcast, and then you'll see the banner for Sandy Rios 24/7, and you can click there and listen to Sandy's any of her podcasts she's recently done, and she's doing three times a week. Go ahead, Sandy.
I'm sorry. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah,
just
go ahead.
To weigh in on something. Yeah. Is this a girly book?
No.
It's not. No, it's not a girly book. It's
a biography.
It's a biography, and it's listen.
I thought she asked me, but go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. Tim. No, I'm sorry.
This is not your day.
Now he's bitter at me.
I'm just saying what everybody's thinking. She said, Tim, what do you think? And then Steve and Ed.
We're all rushing to her defense. Right, no. We care for her.
Right. And no, this is a wonderful book. It's not. It's gender neutral. it's a story of your life, and it's God's calling on your life, and it's the good, bad, and the ugly, and you lay it out there, and some wonderful pictures in here too of your growing up and your family. I love the whole book. I highly recommend it. God's Velvet Hammer, Sandy Rios, R-I-O-S.
Hey, Sandy, who do you want to play you in the movie?
I don't know. I'm not even going to say.
Okay.
I don't know. Ruth Buzzy.
Ruth Buzzy.
I think she's dead. I don't know.
It goes back to that's laughing. We're talking 60s.
With the purse that she'd swing.
Yeah, yeah.
God's velvet hammer.
Thank you, Sandy. Appreciate it.
Okay, you're welcome. Thanks, guys.
Okay, thank you. Everybody, take care. Have a great day. We'll see you back here tomorrow for another edition of Today's Issues.